piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton.
And we're the food guys. We've talked a lot about sugar. More than a year ago, Mark Bittman had a wonderful little article about it's the sugar, folks, in which he said sugar is indeed toxic, and it's not the only problem of the standard American diet, but it may be the major one. He's talking about the increase of the consumption of sugar and so forth. Since we have this natural ingrained tendency to consume sugar, sweet things, how are we going to compensate for it? One of the problems we have is we don't know how much sugar we actually are consuming.
I don't think that there is actually an RDA, recommended daily allowance, for sugar. The sugar industry is probably responsible in great part for that because they don't want an RDA. They want people to consume sugar as much as possible. I was watching John Oliver, and he had about a 10-minute diatribe on the sugar industry. There's sugar in so many different foods. Sugar can be high fructose corn syrup. It doesn't have to be sucrose. He said that the industry is reluctant to put in a measurement of sugar on labels that people will understand. They understand teaspoons.
Sure.
Okay, so if you saw that you were eating this cookie, for example, and you were consuming 6 teaspoons of sugar, this would at least let you know, wow, that's a lot. That's 2 tablespoons.
Yeah.
Or if you're doing a soft drink, a can of soft drink is 3 tablespoons of sugar. But they want grams.
Yes. People don't understand.
They don't understand grams. A gram is a weight. 4 grams of sugar would have 16 calories because there are 4 calories per gram of carbohydrate. And 16 calories is in 1 teaspoon of sugar.
Okay.
So if you see 4 grams sugar, that means 1 teaspoon.
If you look on the label of a bottle of soda and it says 1 serving, be sure you notice how much 1 serving is.
Yeah, how many grams.
Yeah. And then it says there's 4 grams of sugar in it. Then you know there's a teaspoon.
There's a teaspoon of sugar.
In that serving, so to speak. There might be 2 servings in that bottle, which you're going to consume anyway.
Right, you're going to drink the whole thing yourself.
At any rate, you need to get those kinds of things clear. Or maybe we can finally coerce the industry, get the Food and Drug Administration to get people to do it. I would like to recommend once and for all other sweeteners.
Yes, I'm really fascinated by what you've been doing, especially in regard to baking, using erythritol.
That's the one I recommend.
It's a sugar alcohol, which has virtually no calories or very little, and they don't cause a blood sugar spike.
No, they don't cause a blood sugar spike.
If you're eating sucrose, you will get a blood sugar spike.
For cooking purposes, though, you have to remember one thing, particularly if you're a baker, you have to caramelize something. Sugar alcohols.
They won't do it.
Aren't going to do it for you. Basically, erythritol, you can use in a ratio of 1 to 1. That means a somewhat reduced sweetness because erythritol, it turns out, is about 80% of the sweetness of
sucrose.
And it has just about the same specific gravity, it seems, and the same size of grains. So it's very like sugar. It's not real light or too heavy or anything like that. It does have a feature that it does not gather in moisture. There's a drying tendency compared to sugar if you're baking with it.
That may work very nicely if you want something really crisp, for instance, a crisp sugar cookie. But for a cake, you'd want to eat it fresh. It would dry out over time.
Yeah, it would. The other thing is if you look through the list of negative side effects of sugar alcohols, some of them like maltitol and xylitol, sorbitol, mannitol, isomalts cause diuretic problems. This is not the case with erythritol. Erythritol is exceptional in that it is not processed in the gut. Only about 10% of it actually goes through the gut. The rest is all eliminated in the urine. which means that it has none of those effects that we were concerned about in an earlier show when we talked about gut flora and so on.
It's worth giving erythritol a try.
I think you should. I think anybody should. The biggest single problem, as far as I'm concerned, is people do not realize how much sugar they consume just by eating their normal amounts of things.
Especially if you're eating too many processed foods.
Yes.
You have to really look at your labels very carefully. That's where a lot of the sugar is hidden, not in the labels, but it's going to be in the food. And you have to read the label to know how much is actually in the food that you're eating.
The other thing you have to do is come back next week for
The Food Guys. Guys.